Is that 34? Verse 34? You missed, you're in 34:19, excuse me. How many afflictions are we going to experience? You know, do you think about it right now. Is this the end of your afflictions? Will there be more? But what's God going to do? So what are you worried about? Amen. So that's, I'm trying to tell you, so many are the afflictions of the righteous. Are you righteous? Do you fit in that category? Well, listen here. If you don't feel like you fit into that category, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that you are righteous. Like, you'll never be any more righteous now than you will be 100 years from now. God's already dealt with your righteousness. He's given you Jesus' right. When he was on the cross, he took your sin to the cross. He took your nature. Hebrews 9 tells us that he became us when he was on the cross. And when later on he gave us his nature. We exchanged. That's called identification. And right now, if you're born again, you are righteous right now, and you qualify. And guess what? Here's the scripture I'm thinking about. One good scripture, I think about 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, says that the Lord, his eyes are on the righteous. Is that you?
Yes.
Or somebody else? The Lord's eyes are on the righteous, and guess what? His ears are open unto your crying, no? Your prayers. And so we need to do some praying, right? Thank God for that. Like, we're righteous people. And I was reading over in Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 1. It says in there, let's go to chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. This is a little side journey we're taking. It's not going to cost you anything. I'm not going to ask for anything. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. And I got excited about this. I was reading this in bed one night, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go ahead and read a few scriptures in here. Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Thunder Bay. We got to personalize this. To the faithful in Christ Jesus at Faith City Church. That's you and me. Verse 2 says, grace be to you and peace from God. We need a lot of grace. We need peace. From the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, who has blessed be God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Are we in Christ? Yes. If we're in Christ, then we have every blessing that should ever be mentioned. You're blessed every way you can think about it, even in ways you never thought about. Then it goes on to say, verse 4, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, in other words, before he created the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I want to show you this in the Amplified Bible on there. Let's go to the New Living for a second, verse 4. And I'll just bless it. Just looking at this. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. Jesus, he did this in Christ. If you read the previous verse of scripture, God has already done this, that you're holy. You know, holy means separated. You know, people have this idea. I've seen different people say things online, and they don't know the Bible. They can't know the Bible, otherwise they wouldn't talk like that. Right now, you're righteous. And so that's what makes people weak over in life and fearful, is that they don't know who they are in Jesus Christ. You know, churches, like individuals, are at different stages of development. Some people have a little bit more enlightenment than other people. Some people bash other people because they have more advancement or whatever. We all have the same thing. And I see people fighting against each other. You know, we shouldn't be doing that online, especially in front of people. You can do it in the back room. No, you should never do it. But he says, do you have any fault? Is God going to judge you for anything? No, he's not. He's already taken care of that in Christ. He penalized and he judged Jesus for us. That's why it says that when he was on the cross, we were there with him. We went to the cross with him. And God laid our sin on him. And right now, you're holy. You're separated by God. God identified you as his own. And because if you ever died right now, that God will never bring up your past. He won't say, look at that, look at over here. Look at all this. No, that's already gone. He's not going to remember that anymore. I thank God for that. Don't you? Yes. I want to just stand up right now and thank God for that. Just go ahead and stand up and bless God. Amen. The Bible says we stand praising him. You go ahead and give him thanks because, hey, this is something to praise God about. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you for right standing, for righteousness, that we have no fault before you, that you laid it on Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I am without fault. I'm righteous. In Christ. Not on my own, but in Christ. So I am in Christ. I thank God for that. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. All right, go ahead, be seated. You know, I just want to add that this morning. Like I said, I'm not going to take an offering or nothing. This is all free from the Bible. If you turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 34, we were already there, verse 4. I'm going to read the first verse. You know, it's good to understand the books of the Bible. I've been reading the Bible for many years. I read through the book, the Bible through and through, from Genesis to Revelation, dozens and dozens of times. Some portions more than other times. I made it my job to be a student of the Bible and understand what each book meant. Who's he writing to? What are they talking about in there? And I began to delve into it and read it every day. I read it every day, every night. The last thing I do at night, I used to smoke a cigarette. Last thing at night, I used to smoke a cigarette. But now I read my Bible every night. Amen? And the first thing I used to do was grab a cigarette in the morning. But now the first thing I do is grab my Bible. Or grab my tablet or whatever. Put the Bible in it. And I read it to myself before my feet touch the floor. And during the nighttime, and when I wake up in the nighttime, I lift my hands in the dark. And I say, God, I want to thank you for my healing, my salvation. I want to thank you that I'm strong. And that you gave me a purpose to live every day. Hallelujah. Amen? That's a good way to live. I'm not saying I curse this and I curse that. I'm not sorry anymore. You know, I used to be sorry when I woke up in the morning. But I noticed the sun rose again. Amen? The sun rose again this morning in the east. It'll rise again tomorrow. But it'll set tonight sometime. Did you find 34? Psalm 34? It says here, I sought the Lord, verse 4, and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. I want to talk to you about how to overcome fear with God's protection. And 5 easy lessons. We'll start with the introduction this morning. We'll try to give you the Reader's Digest version. The quick and easy way. Everybody wants a quick and easy way, right? Well, we got it this morning. So here's something I want to show to you. This is the whole idea of this morning's teaching, and that is some fears that people have will never ever happen. And the fears that most people have will absolutely never ever come near it. And so the devil's greatest tool is to attack man's mind with problems, inserting his ideas in there. Anything that would intimidate you, anything that would cause fear, anything that would cause anxiety is from the devil. So we have to learn to reject those thoughts. The Bible tells us how to do that. Don't entertain them. We reject them. So someone said, that the word fear itself, you know, if you take the acronym, the F-E-A-R, and we used this many times before, you took those letters, and individually those letters spell this out. F is for false. E is for expectation or evidence. False expectations. People have all kinds of expectations, bad ones mostly. A is for appearing. You know, the devil can make things appear so real that you actually feel it in your body. It affects you that much. Your soul and your spirit, or your soul and your body, are so interconnected that one affects the other. R is for real. False expectations or evidence appearing real. So there's a lot of fears that are not real. And if you took a person and you put them in a screen room and watched, fearful pictures, or say you put someone in the room and blackened room and you showed on the screen a grizzly bear coming to eat you, your body would react quickly. Your body your heart would pump and you'd get excited. Because your eyes are the gateway, and your ears are the gateway to your soul, your whole spirit, and it causes your body a reaction. That's how your body is designed to be. And we need those senses for different reasons for living in this world, but there is a time when you have to leave that and go to another realm if you're going to believe something from God. Because the Word of God doesn't operate by how you think and what you feel about it. And so this is where we end up getting into a lot of trouble, because God's Word is you know, say for instance you take Hebrews chapter 11. Let's put that up there. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Let's take that as an example. Because When you're living a life and you're believing God for something, you're going to have hurdles in your life. And every one of us knows we have hurdles. A lot of people learn that they don't have to pay attention to them. And they're not even Christian people. They learn how to develop things. There's people who are financial gurus, they understand faith. And they operate faith. And they believe things. And things happen to them because they have faith. So it says in here, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, a lot of us have hopes. We have dreams about our future. Dreams about what we want to have. But then we have things that would hinder us to believe that it's going to happen. They will make sure of that. And maybe some of your friends that don't want you to go ahead of them. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, we got to have hope. God's word gives us hope about what the future is going to be like. But he also gives us faith to believe for that future. Hope is always future. Everybody say hope is always future. So you don't have to hope for something that you have already. The Bible says that. You don't have to hope for something you got. You know you have it. You have it. So faith, the word faith, you can actually take the word faith and insert in there the Word of God or Scripture or Bible promises. You can read it like this way. The Bible promises is a substance. You know, the word substance in the Amplified Bible says the guarantee. The guarantee. The Word of God is a guarantee, or it takes place of what you hope for, what you don't have yet. And so, it's the evidence. Here's the point that I was going to actually give you, is that faith is the evidence of things not seen. The word not seen could be equal to this phrase, your five senses, or things perceived by the five senses. Faith, you could say faith, you just go right to the end. Faith is the evidence of the things that my five senses cannot see, cannot enjoy right now, cannot actually fathom, can really relate to right now. So you're the Word of God, see, that's where we have to understand about God's Word. If we take God's Word, God has His promises, then we're gonna survive every day. We survive every day from people who say things to us. I'm going to see you tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow. And we say, we believe it. But sometimes they don't show up. Or you don't show up. But that's not how God is. When God says something, you can be sure it's going to happen. God is, he doesn't lie. The Bible says, you know, you read in the book of Joshua there, at the end of the chapter, he says, Joshua told him a couple of times, he says at the end of it, when he was going to leave for heaven, he says, we've gone through all this stuff, and not one promise that God told us, it all manifested. He said, not one promise failed. And he's talking to us. That the Bible, everybody say the Bible. Say the Bible is God speaking to me. So when you read the Bible, you gotta understand is the Bible is God speaking to me. Personalize it. One guy told Pastor Ken one time, he's dead now. He asked Pastor Ken, he said, you know, Pastor Romo ought to, you got to update that Bible, he says. It's too old, in other words, you know. Update it to modern terms. He says to Pastor Ken, he said, do you actually believe that in the Bible, literally? Well, yeah. We believe the Bible. Amen. But we understand that we have to use wisdom in the scriptures. So what I'm saying is that the Word of God takes the place of what you do not see yet. So you can take God's Word, what you're believing for, you can say, I have it. Why do you say you have it? You're still sick. Why do you say you have it? You still have that big bump there in your body. You guys still got that tumor. Why do you believe that you're healed? Did the doctor say? No, the doctor didn't say nothing. In fact, the doctor said it got even worse. Well, why do you say that? I say it because the Word of God says it. And God doesn't lie. I mean, it's hard for people to do. Brother Hagin taught us, he says, one of the hardest things you can get a Christian to do is call those things to be not as though they were. And that's the language of faith. You know, the prayer of faith is the prayer of calling those things which be not as though they were. You call it like the scripture says, Lord, I want to thank you. You said in your word that healing belongs to me. So right now I believe in the name of Jesus as I lay hands on myself, as I speak to my body, or as I lay hands on my child or someone else, I pray for them. I'm praying in line with your scriptures. You said that healing belongs to these people. So I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. And you go away, and you might be limping away. They say, thank God I'm healed, and you go away limping. He'll say, yeah, that guy is crazy, man. He said he's healed, he's still limping. No, we're not crazy, we're just doing what the Bible says. Right. Amen. I'm saying what God says about me. Glory to God, you beautiful people. Amen, loyal. I always tell the Lord when I pray, I say, thank God for all the loyal people here at Faith City Church. Oh, they're tremendously warm, welcoming. I thank you that they're givers. They use their talents to serve you. I pray for every one of them. I thank you for their sowing and reaping. I thank you for every member of Faith City Church who's sowing into the ministry in the vision that we have that you've given us here at Faith City Church. I want to thank you for every member. And I'm coming in agreement with them as they've given financially. And that you prospered, Faith City Church. And we prospered. Amen? We have no lack. We've been saying that for years. We have no lack. Say, we have no lack here. We have no lack here. Praise God. We don't have any lack. Why? Because we keep saying it. And we keep believing it. Hallelujah. Amen? And I always try to tell our our accountant, you know, he says, you know, there's lots of laws about giving. You can't give to another ministry in another country. If you give too much, they'll track you down. They come and talk to you. Now, why do you give over here? Well, it's a long story. You know, they'll ask you different things. Anybody ever get tracked that way? One guy, Pastor Ken, he's the only one that guy is giving. And they finally caught up to him. But we're blessed. Amen. So let's go back to our lesson. It's all about fear, right? Fear. Everybody has some kind of fear about the future. So he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. So fear is something that we expecting bad things to happen. I know when I first, went into a treatment center, you know, I went to a treatment center a couple of times. And I kept falling off. And I asked my sponsor, should I go back to treatment? He said, no, you don't have to go to treatment. You need to follow the program. Follow those steps. And I followed the steps and I stayed free. And so, I was afraid in different areas. But I kept looking to the principles of going ahead and seeing myself well. Hallelujah. So some people struggle about fears of the future. But the Bible testified that God has taken care of our entire life. This means your past, your future. And knowing how much God loves you will drive away all fear. You know, when you think about it, you love your children. You don't have any plans to destroy them, do you? You shouldn't. But God has a plan for us to rescue us every time. We read the scripture, right? In verse 19. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 18. I'm reading the God's Words translation because it gives us literally what it talks about here. God's Words translation, GW, in other words. It says here, no fear exists where love is. You know, if you're in a loving relationship, you love someone, the love with someone dispels any kind of fear you have for someone. Rather, perfect love gets rid of fear because fear involves punishment. The person who lives in fear doesn't have perfect love. You know, love is just covers everything. When you know God loves you, you know he's got something good in store for you. And that's how we take care of fears of our future because we know God has a good plan for us. For instance, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, I'm reading the King James here. He says, we know that all things work together. You know, we say, well, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. Well, it's going to work out for good. To who? To them that love God. To love God means to obey God, to practice what he says. To them who are called according to his purpose. You know, we get up every morning. We know that God has a reason for our existence. There's a plan for us. So every day when I pray, I say, Lord, I want to thank you for the plan. I'm praying for your plan and your purpose in life. I thank you for that. I learned something about yesterday, reminded Brother Hagin taught us. He said, churches cannot function without a pastor properly. You cannot be as mature as you can be without me. Or without pastors. You can, you can grow, you can develop and be strong, but you won't be as good as you are without me. Because God designed it that way. There's a humility to it, isn't it? I remember one person, I was just in my 30s. They're in the 50s, 60s. They said, you can't help me. You're just a young kid. What do you know about marriage? Well, the Holy Ghost in me has more knowledge than 34 years old. His word says the same thing. It works whether I'm 60 or 75 or 26. The word of God is still the same. The wisdom of God is still the same. Amen? I noticed that person didn't do very good, even to this day. There's no humility there. And you can vouch for that. I'm not talking about you either. I'm just kidding. No, listen. If you have fears about what's going to happen in the future, and we sometimes do, some people have more trouble with it than others, when you understand that God loves you and he has made a plan for you, a wonderful plan for you, that your fears will go away. It will cease. Somebody preached on this the other day, and Jeremiah 29:11, he says, that's just for the Jews. But I'm a Jew, according to the New Testament. A Jew is not someone who is born to a Jewish family. A person who is a fully Jew is the one who has faith in God, if you read the scriptures. He says, the prophet says, for I know what I plan for you. The plans to kill you, to destroy you. No, that's why some people think about it. No, plans to prosper you, right? No, he doesn't send anybody to destroy you, not to harm you. I have plans for a future filled with hope. That's what we want. So if God doesn't do that, we might as well just give up and go home right now. Right? If he's trying to destroy you, you might as well try to run away as fast as you can. The Apostle Paul says this in the second chapter of Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 10, I'm reading the Amplified Classical Version. It says, Paul says this, for we are God's own handiwork. In other words, God really had his hand in you to put you together. You know, he's the potter, we're the clay, right? His workmanship, recreated in Christ. In other words, God recreated you, made you into something new after you came to Jesus. Born in you that we may do those good works which God predestined. He planned beforehand for us, taking paths which we prepared ahead of time, which we should walk in them, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us. I read the scripture, John 10:10, that Bible says that the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, to kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, that you might enjoy life. The Amplified says that you might enjoy life. Amen. So I'm going to ask you something personally. You don't have to answer me right now. If you're not enjoying life, maybe you're doing the wrong thing. Maybe you're in the wrong situation. But God has planned good for you. So if you're in a relationship or in a business or doing things and you're always uptight, there's something wrong with that. You know, you got to have peace wherever you are. The Bible says, let God, we read that last time, right, in Colossians, let peace be the umpire, let it be the deciding thing to everything you're doing in life. That's why when I went out into another field recently, I asked God about it. 2 years took me before I began. It's actually 3 years before I made this decision. And I asked the Lord, and each time I said, I'm not ready. I don't want to do this right now. But the third time I said, Lord, okay, I'm ready. If you want me to do it, I'm going to do it. And so I went into a certain situation and had kind of perfect peace in my heart that I'm in the right place at the right time. And I decided, after I got that situation down, I had nobody, involvement, just me and God, prayer. And I phoned my pastor. I said, I hope he doesn't tell me to reverse my decision, because I already done some things. So I phoned my pastor. He said, hey, that's the greatest thing you can ever do. And he encouraged me. And he said, you're on the right track. You go right ahead. And I had the covering. Now, if he would have said something, I would have rechecked myself, and I would say, okay, maybe I'm wrong here. And that's why it's good to have somebody over you. You know? Thank you, Lord. A few people are excited about it. According to the scriptures, our future looks great. But many live without God and live only, perhaps maybe for themselves. And are fearful because they're only doing it out of selfish reasons. That's why fears come of the future, because they're just doing things on their own without God's involvement. Yes, there's so many things that we can fear about in this world. But when we know God's involvement in our lives, we're not going to be as fearful as we could be because of our the attacks in our minds. If you know God's there and He loves you, He has all good intentions for you. You know, here's something that we have a problem with, a fear of the unknown. No one can really know the future except God Himself, even though some try to predict the future. This is why some people go to a spiritist or some kind of fortune teller or some kind of a guru or somebody who can tell you things. You know, you can go to a ceremony and ask somebody spiritual there to tell you some things. They'll tell you some things, and they can sometimes. Because they're what they call, the Bible says, God forbids us to see spiritists and fortune tellers and people who can predict the future. Because there's a different spirit involved. They're called familiar spirits. Why are they called familiar? Because they're familiar with your future. They can tell you things. And if you're in that situation, you might go to that spiritist and they say, I want to talk to grandma. And it's, okay, wait a minute, we'll just mix some things together here. And then, grandma, is that you?
Yes, it's me.
Does that sound like grandma? Yeah, it does.
Yes, me. Remember where I put that money?
Oh, wait a minute. My connection is going. Grandma. Oh, she was about to tell me about where that money was. But, you see, some people want to go there. I had a friend. He went to a ceremony. His wife had died. I worked with him. I was his supervisor. His wife committed suicide. She jumped over the bridge in the wintertime and fell into the bridge in the water, and she drowned. And they couldn't find her body for a long time. And so he sought out another means. He was not a born-again man, not a Christian. Didn't seek God as we know him. He went to a spiritual ceremony. And he got information, and they say, here's where that person you'll find. You'll find him at this spot. And sure enough, they found that person. You know, just because something's supernatural doesn't mean it's God. I said, just because it's supernatural doesn't mean God's involved in it. It's spiritual, but not God. There are spirits in this world that know different things. But we should not seek the future in this fashion, because you can get into trouble. But we need to seek God, and God says everything's going to be okay. Amen? But because you've been too antsy about the future, you know, you get ahead of yourself, and you seek a spiritist. So today, we have these things going, fortune tellers and tea leaf readers and those kind of things, because people want to predict the future. They want some kind of assurance. Psychologists tell us we need some sense of security, everyone does, in our lives, especially concerning the future. I know for me, in my age, I'm thinking about, you know, getting older. How many of you ever thought about getting old? I never thought I'd ever get old. I thought I'd remember young and pristine forever. Right? Some of you are laughing at me, but you're going to get old too. Yeah? And I noticed when I was walking up the stairs, there's something creaking. I thought it was the stairs, but I said, yeah, this is actually me. So we all need, you know, talking about our soul part of our lives, emotional, mentally, we all need a sense of security that things are going to be okay. Psychologists tells us that, you know, research tells us that everybody, there's a need for human people to feel a sense of safety. It's a need that everything's going to be okay. And so we do different things to ensure, you know, we take a little bit more, cod liver oil or, you know, less sugar, and we try to predict our, you know, different things that we can feel better. So we have some sense of predictability in our lives because we understand human nature in that matter. So today we're looking, people are looking for the future and towards the future with fear and trepidation. They have all these kind of things going on in their minds because the unknowns in their lives, and especially after COVID and after 9/11, you know, there's so much came into the people so fast that it actually affected kids in school. You know, it affected kids. They were at school, and this thing was happening, and all kinds of chaos going on. It affected a whole bunch of kids. Today, we're looking, you know, with kind of lens. It's not that, it's pretty foggy in the natural, because we think, you know, all this happening, you know, people have been killing people and mass shootings and all that kind of stuff. People say, now we're having killings in places where we never thought there'd ever be any killings. So there's great fear, social pressures and drug epidemics right here in our city. And how many of you are praying for that every day? I'm praying that not just for the addicts itself, but for the parents and the children. And they see every day they're watching their young ones going down and down and down and down and down. And they just go over and over and over again. We pray for these individuals. So we see erosion in the values in society and diminishing of identity for us as humans. Canadians suffering identity crisis. Because we're not as tough as those Americans. Christians are constantly watching Christian television. But it's okay in some circumstances. So many fear our values. They say, well, these newcomers coming here, they're affecting our nation and affecting our peace here. So whatever the case may be, the Word of God says that we can face the future no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, as we trust Him. Here's a scripture I want to give you. Isaiah 41 in verse 10 and 13. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Is God with you? Did He say be afraid? He said, well, you better be afraid now because things are getting worse now. You know, Jesus said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world give it. You have peace in your heart as God's present to you, as its gift to you, that you can have peace. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I believe it's the 14th chapter of John. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid. You know, John says that, right? Do not be afraid. He says, I'm going to give you this sign. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And people get even afraid even more. But God says, don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. How many times does He say, do not be afraid, and yet people are afraid? They're worried every day. Things are not going to turn out. I hope this is going to be okay. I hope that's going to be okay. Oh, I hope. Let's go for prayer. Let's ask Pastor Roman. He's got the answers. Now, let's pray. Let's ask Him. You know, He's a guru. You know, they got the same God I have. They got the same Bible. You know, we have God on our side. He said, don't be afraid. Jesus said, do not be afraid. Next time you be afraid, you say, do not be afraid. Go to the bathroom and say that to yourself about 25 times. And then there's a big line up there. It's Timmy's. Who's in there? I don't know. They kept talking about fear in there. Do not be afraid. So God wants us to look at our future with confidence and not have any kind of fear. He said in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust you, all those because your thoughts are fixed on Him, right? You'll keep Him in perfect peace, Isaiah says, because your mind is fixed on the Lord. It's not like, okay, just let me just start thinking about God. Let's think about Jesus. I got fears. I'm thinking about Jesus. That's not how to do it. No, you take the Word. And I'm going to give you 54 reasons. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to show you something here. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? What does fear mean? You know, we saw the acronym. You know, the dictionary says, fear is a distressing emotion caused by the idea of impending danger, pain, or threat. No matter if fear is real or imagined, it has effects. You could think right now, right here in your mind, and think of something bad in your life, and you just keep thinking on it, your body will react. It'll go into a panic mode, and anxiety begins to come in, and it's what you fix your mind on that causes you that reaction. That's why Isaiah 26 says, if you fix your mind on God, that is God's word, you'll not be afraid. You know, like I said, just done research on this, of course. They show people, they'll put glasses on people, and they show them different things, and they see the reaction of the body, the blood pressure goes up, and they start getting tense and different things, and they describe what happened to them. We have my daughter had one friend who's deathly afraid of killer whales. And you say, killer whale, and she'll go, whew. You sure something in there, send her a picture of killer whale, and she'll just go, that's irrational. I've never saw one killer whale in my whole life in this country. I had to go to Vancouver to see it in Niagara Falls when we were kids. When their kids were small, we saw killer whales. But, you don't see killer whales on the street over here. But that's irrational. And somehow they learned that. Their reaction, just the reaction of hearing it. And so you can learn to trust God's word, and your body will react properly. You know what they call, anybody know about muscle memory? An athlete can just do a certain thing over and over and over and over, and the body just does it. Even without thinking, bang. You have a memory, right? And your body just does it. So in the same fashion, you can train your spirit to do the same thing. You can train your spirit by feeding it the Word of God, and whenever a thought comes in your mind about whatever, and your spirit will rise up in you and say, no, it ain't. Because you put the Word of God, I know for a fact, for me, it happens to me. That devil will try to hit me with something. He said, if it's a teaching or something, no, it would come up out of me. He said, no, it ain't. And I'll answer that thought back. I said, no, this is what I know about it. Here's what the Bible says. And that thought goes away. You cannot fight thoughts with other thoughts. You fight thoughts with you speaking something. Speak out the word. Say what the word says to yourself. That's called meditation. That's why the Bible says to meditate day and night. That's something you do regularly when something hits your mind. You just say what the Word of God says. Sometimes it's automatic if you train yourself, or if you haven't trained yourself that well, you'll have to find something and say it right away. That's how you fight fear. I used to tell you this. I had anxiety issues. I would have heart palpitations, sweaty palms, all these things. I'd have, those things. I'd have to run out of our room, run out of my classroom. I didn't know where this came from. I didn't have a solution. I went to a psychiatrist. I went to counselors. I had many, many years of having this problem. And I did not realize it was rooted in fear and insecurity as a kid. And I got healed because people who loved me started listening to me. I started talking, you can get healed just by talking to someone. Talk about what you're afraid of, why you're afraid of, they talk to you. That way you can just get it out of you. It's a principle. And so I was able to get over anxiety attacks. Had tremendous anxiety attacks, just paralyzing ones. And I don't know if you've had them. But I had it to a real great degree. And I'd wake up at middle of the night. I would wake up like 3 o'clock in the morning with just panic, just absolute panic. And I didn't know why. I started learning things that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. And I would quote that scripture, and I'd even get worse. Why? Because I hadn't trained my spirit yet. But if you keep saying it over and over, sooner or later, something's going to happen. Your spirit, Jesus said, is the soil. If you keep putting the Word of God in that soil, it'll produce, and you don't even have to understand how that process works. It just works. You keep putting the Word in, it'll produce what it should be. It's like any part of your life, it's the way God designed it to be. I like Psalm 91, 10, and 11. The good news says, no disaster will strike you. No violence will come near your home. God will put his angels in charge over you to protect you wherever you go. Psalm 54, 17 says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You know, Jesus told his disciples, go out there, preach the gospel. Luke 10, 19, nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. So whatever it is you're afraid of, you can take these things, you know, and really work on them. I want to give you these 5 points as we end here. Let me give you this, and then we can go home and have a great time and say we had a good time at church. Yeah, was there any good today? Are you going to come back sometime? Okay. We have no reason to fear the future because God's taking care of you. Right? Let us, maybe we'll put this off till next time. Because sometimes you can't take it. You know, fear always expects good, right? Affects the best things in your life. Whatever you find, here's something you have to do. When you think about fears, find a scripture that covers your case. Say, for instance, you're having a fear about money. Go to scriptures that talk about God fulfilling your needs financially. God wants you to have enough. And the Lord spoke to me today to tell you that live according to your means. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, tell people to live according to their means, live according to their you know, budgets, have a budget, and live according to that budget, but don't spend over it. Stop borrowing. Because you tend to borrow one, and you borrow again, borrow another, and take this one and give it to here, right? Stop borrowing money. And he said a few other things. You know, you have to live according to your faith. Say, live according to your faith. So my faith, I usually, you know, I have a certain way of myself. You know, people have pressures because they overspend. And they blame God when something goes wrong because, no, God was not involved in it from the beginning. You know, they that the Bible says, you know, in Psalm 27, that we should build our house on what God says to do, not on what you want to do. And so people get in trouble when they get off on different things. So, I mean, I'm not a businessman. I would certainly do what I do here if I was a businessman. I have to work with what I got. I tell you, if I was a businessman, I'd be really rich. I'm rich now. Amen. You know, I mean, I don't always say everything that I know because people get mad at you. They say different things. You're just like Kenneth Copeland. No, hey, listen, I learned to keep my mouth shut about a lot of things because, you know, when I first became a pastor, people were saying, you shouldn't be driving that car. You should be driving this car. Why do you have a new car? I said, shut up. No, you know, I mean, people, if you live in the public, people have opinions about your life all the time. So you have to live within your means. You know, so I learned to be, I looked at different ministers, friends of mine that I looked at different ones. And I said, I think I'll look at Billy Graham, what he does. How does he handle himself? So in some areas, I follow what he did, what Brother Hagin did, and live within my means. I hate being pressured. You know, people sometimes, they said, this is the last one we have, so come and buy it right now. I said, go ahead and sell it because I'm not coming. I don't go by pressure. I don't live by pressure. There'll be another one. I imagine there'll be another one. They'll make another one. But I'm not going to live just following everybody. So I don't have any fears about those kind of things, about the ministry. You know, I didn't want to be in the ministry in the first place. So if God wants to close down the ministry, let him close down his ministry. That's his ministry. It's not my business. Somebody said, it's not my monkeys, it's not my circus. So everything is like that. So don't be afraid. So find a scripture that covers your case. If it's family, find something about family. Find something about children. Get that. Get that scripture and don't just get it and put it on your somewhere. Just meditate on it. It goes into your soil of your spirit and it produces faith in there. And reciting scriptures and mentally is not really faith. It's good, but it's not enough. And start acting like it's the Word of God. Hallelujah. Go to the Word. I sought the Lord and He heard me. He heard me and He helped me with all my fears. So take every fear. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take our fears to You right now. In the name of Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank You. Any fear you have right now, if you're dealing with a fear, so deal with that right now. The scripture says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. And Lord, I recognize how much You love me, and You've taken care of my past. And if anything should come up in my past, You've already taken care of it. Who shall condemn those of Your people? God says, I've justified you. Thank You, Lord. I don't know about you, but we just need to go to God right now. Say, Lord, I'm sorry about taking things in my own self. I don't have to fear. You said, do not fear, so I will not fear. You said in Psalms chapter 23, I will not fear no evil. Whether it's spiritual, whether it's material, financial, relational, or any other such thing as provision. And so we cast every care upon You. We make sure that we're doing what You said to do. And I'll take on duties and responsibilities only that You assigned to me. I will not take on other people's problems. But I'll give You mine, and they can do the same. Husbands and wives, we can look to each other sometimes and put pressure on each other, but really God is the one that we should put our have our eyes to. Lord, we just take our troubles and trials to You, like You said every morning, that You're Jehovah Shalom, You're our peace. And right now, we cast every care and every worry, every anxiety, everything that we're afraid of. We take it to You, that specific area of our lives, and we bring it to You, Lord God. We say, Lord, this is what I'm having a trial with, a struggle with, and I'm casting it on You right now into Your hands. And I'll not think about it. I'll not worry about it. I'll do what I can do about it on my own and might do my part. But Your part, Lord God, You said that You'll take care of it. You said Psalm 138, verse 8, says that God is concerned with everything that I'm concerned about. And so, Father, You said in 1 Peter 5, 8, I cast every worry, every concern, every burden, every anxiety on You because You care for me. So, Father, we throw it up right now in the name of Jesus. Father, take it. Take it. I will not take it from You again. As I leave this house of God, and every time it comes back up to You, I say, Lord, I cast it on You, and then You tell the devil, the Lord has it. The devil brings it back to You and says, no, God's taking care of it right now. I'm going to go to bed here. I'm going to enjoy myself. He's taking care of my need right now. Thank You. I will fear no evil. I promise You right now, until I die, I will not be afraid. I will fear no evil. I promise You, according to Your word, that I will not be afraid. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. Fear is not for me. Today I resign myself to not have another anxiety attack. I'll not lose my mind. I'll not be afraid of Alzheimer's. I'll not be afraid of a sudden heart attack. I'll not be afraid of a stroke that will come back to me. I'll not be afraid of getting old. I'll not be afraid of being young, too young. Not be afraid of being too unqualified, having not enough funds. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm going to face every fear. I'm going to look out of the eye. It says, fear, I'm not afraid of you. God has taken care of all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I will not be afraid of people. I'm not be afraid of people's opinions. I'm free. I will not ever be afraid of dying because God has already taken care of me. If I die, I'll be in the presence of God in the moment of time. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. The devil is a liar. He is a liar and the father of it. And Lord, you're wonderful. You're beautiful and marvelous and kind and good. Hallelujah.